done. Book of John's Gospel, chapter number 12, begin reading verse number 1. The Bible said, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And there they made a supper, and Martha served, and Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon, a son which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Amen. I've got this thought that's on my heart tonight, and I was praying some this morning, and I feel like the Lord would be pleased with this tonight, and if I miss it, then I'll miss it. It'll be on me and not on you. Amen. But we have a picture here tonight, amen, in the Word of God. We know that Jesus is soon to leave this world. We know that He is soon to face Calvary. Amen. In chapter number 11, there is a place here, amen, where they have began to plot, amen, that Jesus, His death, they're plotting amongst themselves. The Pharisees have called a meeting, and Caiaphas, the high priest, has declared that there is to be a killing. Amen. There is to be a sacrifice for the whole nation, amen, of the children of Israel. Almost prophetic in the sense that he declares it. Amen. Maybe the Lord anointed it for that reason. Amen. But the Bible said that Jesus began to steal away and no more walked openly, amen, among the people. But the Bible said that he went off to a place, amen. And now we find as the Passover is coming now, there are thoughts running around, people wondering, is the Son of God going to show up as he has in days gone by? And I tell you, I had a feeling in chapter number 11, if I hadn't already read it, I had a feeling he would go to the Passover, amen, for he was a Jew. And there's nowhere in the Scripture where Jesus never kept all of the commandments, amen, of the Lord God. And he would come once a year, just like every other Jew did, amen, to Jerusalem to honor the Passover. And so he's gathered here at Bethany, amen, in the house of Lazarus, and Martha and Mary. And Mary comes in, the Bible tells us, with a box of ointment, a spikenard. And she comes and she brings it into his presence. And there she is. Everybody else is probably milling around. The disciples are there. They're gathered in the house there, fellowshipping and having dinner. And all of a sudden, Mary opens this box of costly ointment. Amen. One place that a writer said that it was placed in an alabaster box. But she breaks open this box and she pulls out the ointment and she begins to wipe the feet of Jesus. Amen. With this ointment. Now, I thought as I looked at this picture, amen, I saw the love that Mary had, amen, for the Son of the Living God. And I saw her sacrifice as she brought this pound costly ointment unto the feet of Jesus. And the Bible said she opened it. I could see tears streaming down her face as she looked up into the face of the Son of God. I could see the love in her heart that she had for Him as she began to worship Him. If this is not one of the very first ones that knew Jesus was going to die. I often wonder if Mary, amen, might have been one of the very few that was spiritual enough to realize what was fixing to take place. Amen. The Bible tells us that Mary comes, amen, with no cost to her own. I mean, we kind of weigh sometimes when the offering's passed, or when we go into a store, we weigh what we spend. And that's good. Frugality is good. Amen. But Mary saw no expense here. Mary thought, I'll not bar anything. When I come into the presence of God, I'm going to bring my very best. I'm going to bring what God has given and blessed me with. I'm going to come. I want to tell you, friend, amen, when you take the attitude of Mary and you enter into the house of God, amen, the whole scene takes a whole picture. I mean, things change. It's not just a church service, but it is an opportunity to worship.
worship the Son of God. It is an opportunity to lift your voice with praise and honor and magnify the God of heaven.
It is an opportunity to come with your very best. It is an opportunity, amen, to come with your heart open to the Son of God. Amen. I know that sometimes, amen, we try to come and we just get by a service and we come to the house of God and we sit down and we're tired and we've worked all week. And I mean, I work a public job. I know what it's like, amen, to work all week, 50, 60 hours a week. Amen. Pastor calls revival and sacrifice. I get home time enough. I get dressed and make my way out of church. And sometimes we just kind of breeze through, you know, as the service is going on, and we just try to make do and endure. I know we're tired, our bodies are drained, and we say, well, if I can just endure a little while, I'll just sit there long enough to get through the singing, get through the preaching, and everything will be all right. That's not the attitude of Mary as she comes with her box of ointment, as she comes to the Son of God, brother, with her heart attent, amen, to the Master's deeds, and her heart attent to worship, and her heart attent to magnify and glorify the Son of God. I don't know what purpose you came tonight. I don't know what reason you came, but the reason I came is to worship and to glorify Jesus Christ. Look at this picture. There are two types of worshipers in this picture. There is Mary and there is Judas. There are two types of attitudes in this scripture here. There is the attitude of Mary. And then there's the attitude of Judas. There's the attitude of Mary, as I've already said. Man, Brother Tim, she came to worship. She came for one purpose. I know that you didn't come to hear my preaching. But I'm telling you, I come for one purpose. I didn't come for your offering. I didn't come to Ohio just to preach a meeting. I came amongst friends to worship. I came amongst friends that I have grown through the years to know. I have come, Brother Tim, to worship the God of heaven. I came to open my alabaster box. I'm telling you, there are some of us last night when the Spirit of God began to move. If you'd have just opened your box of ointment, if you'd have broken open that alabaster box and you'd have began to worship, you'd have come up out of that valley that you have been walking through. That thing that you have been facing, you'd have got victory over it if you'd have broke open your box and worshiped the God of heaven. One thing that does to us as Pentecostal people, trials seem to pull us away from our worship. It pulls us away from our worship. What drew me to Pentecost? What's your worship? What drew me to the house of God with a bunch of homeless folks I thought was crazy? I mean, shouting and speaking in tongues, I never heard of it. Never seen it. But I came and I saw the glow on the women's faces. I saw the joy in the men's hearts. I saw as they lifted their hands and tears rolled down their cheeks and dropped onto their shirts as they loved the God that saved them of their sins and washed them and sanctified them. I seen them as their hands lifted in the air and worship all over their face. Adoration for the Son of God. Admiration for the love that He has shown to them. And they would lift their voice and they would shout and they would dance and they would run and they would worship their God. There are some of us that sat here last night going through a trial, going through a battle, going through situations. If we'd have just broke open that box of ointment. If we'd have just broke open the box. Amen. That's what I'd just like to get across to you tonight. It's breaking open your box. Amen. May I tell you,
The worst thing you can do is have the attitude of Judas. The worst thing you can do is sit back and say, well, I'm just tired tonight. I'm just tired. I'm wore out. And I'm not going to get much anyhow. Amen. You know, I've been in service after service, and I'm still in the same trial. I'm still in the same battle. I've been in service after service. Brother Mike's called me. I prayed for me. Others have tried to encourage me. I'm still fighting the same battle. I say, quit waiting on somebody else and break open your box. I'm telling you to break open the alabaster box and begin to worship the God of your never dying soul and lift up praise and honor to His name. Mary is a picture here in the middle of trouble. Jesus knows what's going to happen. Jesus knows what He's facing. They've done conspired to kill Him. They've already joined forces and said one must die. This fellow that's hounded us, condemned our lifestyle, condemned the way we've conducted ourselves among the people. We built ourselves an empire here. Amen. Religious empire. We built ourselves, amen, a hierarchy among us. And this man comes along and shoots us down. He's healing the sick. Amen. I mean, he's destroying what we built up. I'm not so sure that their motives were all that spiritual. Amen. They just had that power, you see, and they were losing it. And they knew they were losing it because there was someone walking among them that brought joy to those that others would not even look at. Amen. Blind Bartimaeus, if it had not have been for the Son of God, it'd still be blind. If it hadn't have been for Jesus, the man at Gadara would have died in those tombs. If it hadn't have been for Jesus, that adulterous woman would have been killed and stoned in the very act. Where would Mary be if it hadn't have been for Jesus? Where would Mary be if she had not surrendered her life? Do you remember in the Old Testament when Naomi came into Boaz and she placed herself at Boaz's feet? You know this. That was symbolic of her giving herself to Boaz. Is this not symbolic here when Mary bows at the feet of Jesus with her alabaster box and she's telling the Lord, I'm yours. Amen. Not in a sexual way. Amen. Not in a husband-wife way. But she came in a spiritual manner. I'm knowing that he's fixing to leave here. Knowing that he's going to die. Know that he's going to the cross. Amen. Maybe Mary picked up on the sermons when he said that I'm not always going to be with you. That one day they're going to take this temple and they're going to destroy it, but I'm going to raise it up in 3 days. Maybe Mary heard that and said, surely they're fixing to kill the Son of God. And she comes one less opportunity as they are gathered there together in Bethany in her brother's house with a miracle sitting at the table with them. And she breaks open that box and she kneels in total submission at the feet of the Son of God and she surrenders her will to His. And she begins to love Him with all her heart. There is nothing more beautiful than a child of God with their box open. Worship. Just worship. You don't have to dance. You don't have to run. You don't have to shout. Ladies, you don't have to pop your hair like a whip. Just love God. Just open up your heart out of His goodness and His mercy and love Him. You know, and worship Him and lift up praise to His name and magnify Him. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care what the circumstance is. Our worship should never falter in the house of God. Our worship should never get to a place. Oh, I'm on this tonight. Our worship should never get to a place. Amen, brother, where it's mundane and usual. Worship ought to be an unusual place. Worship ought to be a place of the unexpected. Worship ought to be a place where you can come and you don't have to worry about what somebody thinks about you or whether somebody thinks you're qualified to be saved or whether somebody thinks you're qualified amen, to do this, that, or the other. But Brother Jerry, this is the place where everybody becomes equal. And that is in the presence of the Son of the living God, where their voices, my God, I feel a good Holy Ghost of heaven right here tonight. If you'd open up your box and worship God.
This is the place that God wants us. Right here. Worship. You weren't created to preach, teach, dance, run, shout. You were created to worship. And even the remotest jungles of Africa or South America, they will worship something. It is inhumanity to worship. It is inhumanity to exalt something as a higher power or being. I mean, even atheists have exalted man in the humanistic doctrine. Amen. And exalted man to a place of godhood. And they have worshipped the hands of man. If you've ever seen pictures of Russia, all they have is leaders. And they have monuments of workers. And just exalting man's achievements. Amen. One of the most paganist societies that have ever lived. Amen. They have exalted man's abilities. But brother, when you're at the feet of Jesus, your abilities slip out the door. Amen. Your attributes fall to the wayside. When Mary came into the presence of Jesus, amen, brother, she could have been glorying in the fact that her brother was dead, but now he's alive. But instead we see her as she breaks open that alabaster box in the presence of the Son of God, and she begins to offer love and worship to the Son of God.
We come to a place in our experience, the trials get us, and they drag us down, and they pull us, and they cause us pain, and pain does not generate worship. It ought to, but it doesn't. It pulls us away. It ought to be a place where we draw closer. It ought to be a place where we're strengthened by Him, realizing that we're nothing. You know, is there not a song somewhere that says, less of me, Lord, and more of you? Less of me and more of you. Less of me and more of you. I mean, you know, I'm not down on shouting. We had a good service last night. And there were some that really worshiped God, but there were some of us that did not. And we wanted to. But the trials, the problems, the situations, we just did not open that box. And I'm going to tell you, if we don't do anything else before this revival is over, I mean, it's not going to go down as the greatest revival that Shadwell's ever seen. It won't be documented as some of the greatest preaching that we've ever heard. But I will tell you this, if I could leave this place knowing, Brother Mike, that some have opened that box in the presence of Jesus and just began to worship Him. I mean, you don't have to have anybody lay hands on you and prophesy over you and speak in tongues and interpret that message. All you got to do is come into the presence of the God that saved you. Come into the presence of the one that redeemed you. Come into the presence of the Son of the living God and break open your box and worship and magnify the God of heaven.
How soothing is it when the Lord touches you? Huh? I'm going to be honest with you. I've been in places that pastor tried to encourage, but didn't help. He preached, he prayed, but it wasn't until I opened my box in the presence of Jesus and I determined whatever comes my way, I'm going to love Him that saved me. I'm going to worship the one that redeemed me. Mary didn't care that Judas was there. She didn't care that the other disciples were there. She wasn't looking for preeminence. I mean, you know, we're talking about a man that walked dusty roads. I don't know but what his feet were filthy. But she knelt down at his feet. And she began to worship Him. And she broke open that box and began to anoint those feet and wipe it. Took her hair, began to dry it off. Amen. And if his feet weren't clean and they had not washed them, amen, he had dirty feet. And she got matted hair from doing what she did. That ointment was sticky.
that ointment would get on his seat and she'd wipe it and it would stick into her hair. I could imagine Mary there in a disheveled hump at the feet of Jesus, tears mingled with that ointment as she began to worship at the feet of the Son of God. Oh, when's the last time you just opened up your heart? I was watching Sister Mary Hampton. I'm not trying to exalt her, but I watched her the first of the service. And, amen. I got to notice that she didn't care who's around her. Holy Ghost, come on her. She didn't care. I mean, she was not concerned about what you were doing. Amen, brother. She was loving God. I seen it come off her lips. Amen. Several times. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. When's the last time you said it, friend? When's the last time you just opened your heart and lifted your hands? Not when somebody said, lave your hands and praise the Lord, but when you've done it out of your heart spontaneously and just lifted your voice. I feel God in this house right here tonight. When's the last time you just opened your box and worshiped God? When's the last time you just opened it up? I'd say there's some here that hadn't done it in so long, you just about forgot how. You can testify. You can say you're glad to be saved. You're glad the Lord forgave you. Glad He's blessed you. Sometimes that's all good and in its place. But when's the last time you just opened it up and you became a Mary? I'm not talking about a woman. I'm talking about Mary's attitude. When you took the attitude of Mary, I'm not talking about Mary Hampton. I'm talking about the Mary of the Bible. When you took her attitude and you didn't care. You know, when we used to come to church, man, we'd come in and we'd get as close to the front as we could get. We always filled the front up first and then we had to fill the back up. Now we find it's the farthest way, a place from the pulpit as we can get. We don't want to be singled out. We don't want anybody point finger at us. We don't want anybody making a spectacle out of us. When's the last time you made yourself a spectacle in your worship? When I first got saved, I was a Baptist boy. I didn't know anything about worship. But when I got saved, I had to visit the barbershop. And I went to church and I didn't even have on long sleeves. I didn't know, man. I had them old. And in the 70s or early 80s, some of them sleeves were what called muscle type shirts. I had by part of a sleeve. But that's about all the dress I had, man. That's all the dress clothes I had. I wore blue jeans and t-shirts. I didn't have dress clothes. And I went to church and I just threw my hands in the air. I didn't know no better. Amen. You know, nobody ever told me I couldn't do that. Nobody ever told me to come, put your arms down, son, you're showing too much. Nobody had paid me that much attention, I don't feel like. And I just lifted my hands to worship God. And then one day I lifted my hands and I felt like I didn't have nothing on. Amen. I went to the store and bought me some shirts. Amen. I started out with short sleeve and wound up long sleeve. Got where I couldn't even wear a short sleeve to the house of God. That doesn't know short sleeves aren't a sin. Don't misunderstand me. I don't believe that way, but I know that God began to sanctify me. It was all because of my worship. I know I got the Holy Ghost because I worship. And I'd come in the house of God and lift my voice. I mean, I wouldn't take a certain word or phrase and just rattle it off and expect God to feel my tongue. I just came to the house of God, tears flowing down my face, and thankful for being saved, thankful for being washed, thankful, amen, for what He had done in my life, thankful that God had blessed me beyond measure, and I would worship and glorify God. You remember how it was when you first got saved? You're in this house tonight. You used to have the attitude of Mary through the trials and the problems. You're not so quick to open that box anymore. Mary is what we need in the hour that we're living. Mary came and she opened her box. That would be my thought tonight. Open your box. Open your box of worship. And love Him. Don't wait for somebody to come by, call you out. Don't wait for a pastor. Man, does a pastor have to have a burden for us to love God? I mean, has Brother B. Sloan got to feel led of God pray for you to love God? I'm not trying to be hard. I'm telling you, I told you there were two types of worshipers. The second one is Judas. I want you to look at Judas's attitude. What is this waste? What is this waste? Is worship ever a waste? Is worship ever a waste? Regardless of what part of the service it's in, whether it's in the tithe-paying portion or the Sunday school portion, or I know why we sing a couple of songs here at Shadeville before Sunday school. We do it so not just to get us in a mood of worship, but to try maybe the Lord might have something He wants to do before the teaching is done. I know that's why we do it in my home church. Before we break to Sunday school, we have two songs. If the Holy Ghost gets to move and somebody's burdened, needs prayer, we gather in with them. But sometimes it just breaks out in a worship. Sometimes somebody just lifts their voice and magnifies God, and sooner or later you see hands going in the air and a song on the lips and a skip in the step, and somebody opens their box and begins to worship God. We, as a corporate body, are worshipers, but we are more worshipers as individuals. We call this a worship service, but we are supposed to be individual worshipers. And I don't care if the service is high and folks are bouncing off the wall and people are dancing in the pew. If you haven't opened your box, you have failed to worship. You're not going to cry every service. You're not going to shout every service. But I don't have to feel it to lift my hand and say, I love the Lord. I don't have to feel it. I don't have to have a lightning bolt run down top of my head and come out among my feet and slay me out in the aisle of me, jump up and say, I'm saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and love God. But I'm telling you, church, if we're not careful, and I'm speaking to some here tonight, if you're not careful, that trouble, that trial that you're going through is going to pull you out of your worship. And when it does, you're going to start losing your joy. You're going to start losing your excitement for the house of God. You're going to start looking for excuses to miss. Oh, come on now. I know I'm preaching right. I've been there. I know what it's like. Amen. I've felt that way. Amen. I've been to my home church. I've been to where I had to make myself get up in the morning, put my shoes on my feet, and walk to the house of God and purposely walk in late and leave early. I've done it. I know what I'm talking about. Amen. And if you're not careful, amen. But you know something? God did not give my box to Jerry's Kazee. Amen. God told me when He saved me, I had my own little place. And if I never preach another sermon, if I never another, amen, opportunity to run a revival, I still have an alabaster box that has been placed in my care. Amen. My salvation, my joy, my strength. Amen. Brother, I'm a feeling the Holy Ghost right here tonight in this house. You need to open up your box and one more time feel that same joy that you felt when you got saved and when you surrendered your life to God. If you're not careful, you'll wind up as Judas did. It'll become a waste. It'll become a waste of time. It'll come to a place it won't mean much. You know, there's two attitudes, as I said earlier. The true believer is found in Mary. Mary, man, was a true believer. Judas was a selfish individual. He was an ungenerated devil. In any generation, this is my note, in any generation gathered around Jesus can be divided into two categories, Mary and Judas. And I'm going to close with this. I'm not a long-winded preacher. I've been going about 30 minutes. But you know, I sit in services and I make it a point. I don't ask you to lift your hands. I do that on purpose. I've heard evangelists come in, man, and they'll say a statement that they think everybody ought to be shouting, so they'll say, lift your hands and glorify God. Well, if you don't want to lift your hand and glorify God, you don't need a cheerleader. I mean, if I can't lift my hand on my own, I don't need a cheerleader. I mean, do I need to come in here with an OSU suit on and a couple of pom-poms? You know, they're doing it. You laugh, but they're doing it. They got praise and worship teams. Try to get folks to worship. I think worship's heartfelt. I think worship reflects the condition of the heart. True believer, Mary says, what may I do? Judas would say, what do I have to do? Mary would ask the question, what service may I render? Judas would say, what's in it for me? Mary would say, I love you, Jesus. Judas says, he doesn't love me. How many times have you heard that? Out of folks that won't worship anymore. They've lost their joy. Well, if God really loved me, I'd get more attention from the pastor. Huh? Come on now. I might hit right there a minute. What's in it for me? What can I get out of this service? Better question is, what can we put in this service? You know, I mean, this welfare state that we have in America today has got folks handing out, what you got for me? What you going to give me? What's my, it's mine, you owe me. Well, what have you done put in the system, man? Except draw off of it. I don't have a problem with disabled folks. You know, I don't have a problem with retarded people. The people that need help, let's help them. But, buddy, there are some folks that are trying to ride in off of somebody else's coattail. There are folks trying to come in and slide by and want folks to think, well, I'm okay and everything's all right. But, buddy, when it really boils down to it, hey, man, we're hindering that service by not yielding ourselves to the Spirit of God. Hey, man, you come in one time and they'll look at you. Hey, man, brother, wonder what's happened to so-and-so. Hey, man, they've lost their joy. They lost their strength. Hey, man, but I'm telling you, friend, when you open up that box and it's just you and God, I mean, you don't have to get into the song. You don't have to pay any attention. If you don't want to, just open that box to Jesus and come into His house and worship Him. I was bragging on this building the other day. I told a young man, I said they had a church just handed to them, debt free. That ought to be a reason to lift your voice and magnify the God of heaven. God's blessed to give you good men and women right here in the house of God. A good pastor, a good pastor's wife. You got every reason to open your box. Amen, brother. Not believe in some strange, ungodly doctrine, but a man that'll tell you the truth and preach you a reality. You have every reason to open that box. Nothing more than the plan of salvation. Open that box and lift it to Him. And I'm closing. Mary has a love for others. Judas is always wanting to know why people don't care for him. Always feels isolated. Insecure. Hey, this is a waste. It's a waste of time. Just a waste of time. It's revival, just a waste of time. That's what Judas says. Just a waste of time. I mean, you know, we heard better preaching than that on Dr. Dobson, you know. We've heard better preaching than that on Adventures in Odyssey. Waste of time. But Mary says, I don't care who's preaching. I don't care who's singing. I don't care if we got 100 or 15. Now, pastor, it's his job to worry where we got 100 or 15. But that ain't mine. Your job to worry about. Our job is... box and worship, magnify God, and lift our voice one more time, but be sown like we used to do. You know why sinners don't want what we have? Because we don't even want what we have. I mean, they got depression, man. They got it. They got problems. They got cares. They don't worry about, they don't want problems and cares. They want to come to the house of God Amen, brother. They want to go somewhere where God's reaching out to them and God's a pulling on them and God's a tugging on their heart. Amen. I know when I got saved, man, I was needing help. I didn't need another foot on my neck shoving me down. I needed somebody to reach down with the love of God, brother, in the pit and the mire of sin that I was in. I needed somebody to look beyond the outward of my appearance. Amen. Long-haired, hippified son. Amen, brother. I wanted somebody to look at me and say, that boy could make a good Christian. That boy could make a child of God. Amen. That man could rise up out of the midst of that obscurity and be filled with the Spirit of God and open his box in worship. When's the last time I said, get a man to come play for me, man? Give Sister Connie a break tonight. What about it? When's the last time you really opened your box? I don't mind telling you. I whispered in a few ears last night, trying to encourage. But I told Brother Jerry something I wanted to tell everybody that I spoke to. I leaned over Brother Jerry and I said, Brother Jerry, I may not get it exactly what I told him. I said, Brother Jerry, I said, open that box, son. I heard that tape of that song that he sung up here. And he probably won't get Daywind send him a contract to record a CD with it. But my niece and nephew got a blessing out of it. And they're going to sing it. They heard it on the internet. And they heard you folks shout. And I leaned over Brother Jerry's ear last night and I said, Brother Jerry, there's more in that box than one song. Sister Teresa Hampton, there's more in that box that you have. There's more there. Open it. There's more in your box tonight. Brother Jerry, there's more in your box, son. Where's Brother Jimmy? Brother Jimmy, there's more in your box. But you're going to have to open it. You ain't got to worry about what everybody's thinking about it. Sister Diane Cassie, we got to open our box. Brother Scott Coral, I know you're a man of controls back there. You're the minister of sound. We understand that. But you're going to have to open your box. I feel the Holy Ghost. Michael Nichols, son, you've been through some things, boy. Your daddy hadn't talked to me, but you've been through some things. It's time to open that box. And when you sing, son, you pull it from here. You don't pull it from here, you pull it from here. And you see what you know is in your heart. And you open that box. Man, I feel God in this house. Sister, I know your brother Buddy's, I don't even know your name. Come here. Don't you come here. I'm not trying to make a spectacle out of you. Don't you come on. This lady here has a box that the Lord give her. I don't know a thing in this world. Sister, I'm going to put you right here for the rest of this service. And I want you to open that box. Any way you see fit, I want you to open. You don't have to shout, dance, but just open that box. And you love the God of heaven out of the depths of your heart. That's right. It's time to open the box. It's time to open that box. Sister Lisa, come here. Come here, sis. Come on. You go sit beside that sister. Where's Sister Becky? Cordell, get up. Come down to the front here. Manny, you sing something, baby. We're fixing to open our boxes here. We're fixing to open our boxes. And we're going to worship God right here in this house. Scott, leave it. Come on. Microphones are okay. Come on. Come on. Them mics are all right. Come on. Brother Jerry, if you need to, run by there and tend to them. Somebody get a hold of mics. Brother Scott, you got a box. Open that box. God's give you a box. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want everybody to stand over this house with me tonight, right here in this house. I could have drug every one of us down to that altar. I could have took every one of us and took us right down to that altar, and I could have said, open your box tonight. Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. Amen. It's time to worship God. It's time to tell the devil of hell. Amen. It's time to let Judas know, amen, that this is not a waste. That this is worship. This is a place where we gather together. Amen. To put our differences, our problems aside and lift our voice in worship as a corporate body of believers and to magnify the God that saved us and the one that redeemed us from a devil's hell. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Brother Jimmy, grab that baby from her. Get that baby. Sister Amy, you go ahead and you open that box right now. You go ahead and open that box tonight. You let the Holy Ghost. I said you let the Holy Ghost meet with you. Hallelujah. 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 Sister Tina, you go ahead. You open that box tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sister Michelle, just lift your hands. Open your box to Jesus. Let's lift your voice. Let's magnify it, Tina. Amen. Go ahead, Sister Christina. Amen. Lift your voice tonight. Open your box and magnify it.